Bibles or whatever you use to access the Word of God. Repeat after me. Say, this is God's Word. Come on, say it with confidence. This is God's Word. Not Pastor Eben's Word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the Word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, I thank you this morning for these couples. I thank you, Father, for your Spirit. I thank you for your Word. And most of all, Father, I thank you for every heart that's in this place. I pray in the name of Jesus that everything that is said and done will bring glory to you. And I pray that you will help reach the hearts of these couples in a way that only you can do. So, Jesus, we're expecting you to move in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Every year we use the month of September to focus on relationships. Everybody say relationships. So what that means is for the whole month, everybody say the whole month. The whole month of September, we divide our church by relationship status. And so for the first time, we're doing that with three services. So our 8:30 service, which is what you're sitting in, is actually for legally and biblically married couples. Now, if you need to wonder what that is, then you don't need to be in here. Okay? Now, if you're engaged and you'd like to, you know, stay in here and learn and listen, that's okay. But I want to challenge you to stay to our 10:30 service and our 12:30 service, which is designed for singles. Now, FYI, the reason that I do this every year is because I used to do marriage conferences and I used to do single seminars, and they would be poorly attended after all the work and labor that we'd go through. And so the Lord put this idea on my heart. And so I've been doing it this way for years. And one of the reasons this method of separating our church works so well is because it gives me an opportunity to counsel couples right over the pulpit. So whatever I would say in a counseling session in the back, I'm going to say here in a more discreet and filtered way, because I know we may have some students in the room. Okay, so instead of saying sex, I'll say doing it. Okay. That's just an example. I'm not going to talk about it. I saw some of y'all tighten up like, ugh. So this service is for married people, if you didn't know. And if you're visiting us and you're single, I want to encourage you to stay after this service, because the next one will be for single people. So our series title that I've put together for this particular series for our married people is called To Death Do Us Part. So just look at your spouse and say, somebody's gonna die. Now, let me quickly lay some ground rules, and I have to do this. So, number one, everything that I'll be teaching has its foundation in God's Word, and it's going to come from biblical principles. So if you start or you find yourself struggling with what I'm talking about, just struggle with God and not with me, because I'm coming from His Word. Say amen to that. As a spouse, please listen to the message for you, so that you're not listening and filtering the messages from what your spouse should be doing or not doing. Number three, do not, everybody say do not. Do not go home and discuss all the things you heard in the message that you felt was for your spouse. I promise you, it's going to start a fight. Number four, no excessive elbowing or amening in the service. You say, what do you mean by that? You never say amen, but I hit something that you know your spouse needs to hear, and you stand up and say, amen, Pastor. That's excessive. And then number five, open your heart so that God can use his word and his spirit to heal you and transform your relationship. Amen. So if you're taking notes or if you're following our notes today, our message topic is when hearts grow hard. When hearts grow hard. A believer's greatest asset as an individual is their faith, because faith is the thing that causes an individual to have victory in life. 1 John 5, we know what it says. He says, for everyone who is born of God, they overcome the world. And this is the victory that helps them to overcome the world, even our faith. So who is it that overcomes the world, the Bible says? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So our greatest asset as a person before you got married was your faith in Jesus Christ. However, the greatest asset that a couple has is their ability, watch this, to get in unity and stay in unity. Now, you may ask, why unity, Pastor Aaron? Well, number one, because it is the place where God can bless the relationship. That's number one. And number two, unity is the place where the devil cannot separate you or stop you. Because the scripture says a house divided within itself cannot stand. And so the blessing of God, everybody say the blessing of God. There is a such thing of the blessing of God, and the blessing of God can rest on your relationship when unity stays intact. And this is why the enemy does not want you and your spouse to get in unity and stay in unity, because he knows there's a blessing that comes with that. Psalm 133:1 in the Amplified says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers or brethren to dwell together. How? In unity. That means you can be together but not necessarily be in unity. He says unity is like the precious oil of consecration that's poured on the head, that comes down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, coming down upon the edge of his priestly robes, that consecrates the whole body. This unity is like the dew of Mount Hermon that comes down on the hills of Zion, and there where unity is, the Lord has commanded what, church? He's commanded the blessing and life forevermore. And here is why I just mentioned faith and unity. It's because both of them operate from the heart. Which leads us now to our first point. And if you're taking notes, our first point is the heart is where hardness starts. The heart is where hardness starts. Those of you who are online, thank you for joining us. We have over 200 and some people that are watching us. Give them a hand clap while we're doing that. Yes. The heart is where hardness starts. And our hearts, they control how we approach life. The New Living Translation, and I like Pastor Sharp's offering because he was talking about the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, because it determines, watch this, the course of your life. But I love the Message translation about the heart. He says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. Watch this, because that's where life starts. So watch this. From a spiritual standpoint, our hearts are where we believe. Romans 10 tells us, for with the heart man believes. And this is why the enemy works on the inner me, because he knows that if he can influence my heart, he can influence my marriage. I'm going to say that again. This is why the enemy works on the inner me, because he knows that if he can influence my heart, he can influence my marriage. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Eben, why are you starting out the series with this type of subject about marriages getting a hard heart? Well, I have two reasons. Number one, the Lord told me to do this. Number two, which is one of the main reasons, is because, watch this now, the heart is where divorce starts. See, one of the main reasons divorce happens, not the only reason, but one of the main reasons, is because somebody's heart in the relationship gets hard. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 tells us, the Pharisees came to Jesus, tempting him, and they said to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he, which is God, which made them from the beginning, he made them male and what? Female. And that's why we don't believe here at Word of Truth Family Church for same-sex relationships. We're not going to not love you, but at the end of the day, God did not make it that way. The Bible says in verse 5, and Jesus said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to who? His wife, and those two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more two, but what? One. I'll take a little bit more monitor. And then it says here in verse 6 or verse 7, well, verse 6 finishes and says, wherefore, who God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And so they said to him, then why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? And he said unto them, watch this, church, here's where our point comes from. Moses, because of what? The hardness of your hearts suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So listen, church. So if the hardness of the person's heart is one of the key causes for divorce, watch this. Here's why I'm doing the message. Then we can stop or minimize divorce if we learn to manage the condition of our hearts to keep them from getting hard. Now, even if you're here today and your heart is not hard, you could be functioning in your marriage from a half-hard heart. Just look at your spouse and just smile at them. Go on and just smile at them. So, based on scripture, divorce took place because somebody's heart got hard. So here's the question. How does a person's heart get hard? How does that happen? What does that process look like? Because, see, once a person's heart gets hard, it makes it hard for God, and it makes it hard for that person's spouse to reach them. Because here's one thing about your heart. Nobody else can control it but you. So let's jump in this and talk about and define, well, what is a hard heart? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Well, a hard heart is a spiritual and emotional resistance to truth. It's a resistance to love, a resistance to correction, vulnerability, being able to open up. And a hard heart is one that resists reconciliation. And this is why when sometimes couples are going through difficulty and one person is trying to make it work and the other person is not trying to make it work, it's because the one that don't want it to work has probably reached the hard heart status. Now, what I'm talking about is not just a cold heart. I'm talking about a heart that has reached spiritual callousing. You know how if you use your hands a lot, they get hard, they get callous. Well, spiritual callousing, it's caused by repeated offenses. Wow. It's caused by repeated sin. It's caused by repeated neglect or unresolved wounds. Yes. So, what are some symptoms of a hard heart? Okay? Because you know how, I know somebody right now who has COVID. Well, there are symptoms that come with COVID. So what are some symptoms of a hard heart? Because some of you all, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, as I list some of these symptoms, and listen, and you have some of them, I want you to just say, Lord, help me with my symptoms. Here's one symptom, emotional detachment. He said, well, what is that? That's when you no longer have an emotional connection towards your spouse. It's when you've become emotionally distant and unavailable. Nothing bothers you no more. Let me give you some examples since you don't really know what that is. It's when you no longer show affection or concern. No more kissing. No more loving. No more hugging. No more touching. No more holding hands. You sleep in two different beds like Ricky and Ricardo and then Lucille Ball. It's when you don't react or respond to emotional highs or lows. You have checked out. It's when you've disengaged from meaningful conversations. You don't want to talk about something that means anything. Okay, here's a second thing or symptom that happens when you get a hard heart is when you have lack of empathy or kindness. What does that sound like? Well, that's when you just dismiss your partner's pain or concern. Here you go again. It's when you respond to with sarcasm, coldness, or harsh words. Again? Touch somebody other than your spouse. Touch him and say, I think he's talking to you right now. It's when you show no compassion or remorse when you even hurt your spouse. You see, you hurt them and you just look like you didn't even do nothing. Here's a third way or symptom of a hard heart is when you resist spiritual things. In fact, when people are going through a hard heart situation, they stop praying and they don't even want you to pray. They will not receive biblical counseling or direction. Can't nobody tell me what to do. I'm grown. They reject godly accountability. They don't want nobody to hold them accountable. Why? Because their heart is hard. Here's a third one or a fourth one. That's when it comes to resistance to spiritual things. They show disinterest for spiritual things or faith-based solutions. I've actually talked to people going through difficulty, and they don't want you to tell them nothing about the Bible. Here's another symptom, defensiveness, blame shifting, and silent treatment. Here's some examples. It's never you, it's always them. Getting angry when someone approaches you instead of listening. Shutting down, stonewalling. This is when you just walk around and you ain't saying nothing. But you don't like it done to you, though. But you do it. By the way, all of these block reconciliation and connection, okay? Here's number five, very quickly, refusing to forgive or reconnect. This is when you just hold grudges for days, for weeks, for months, and even years. You refuse to resolve things because it's your way or the highway. It's quiet in here. And here's the thing. I'm like, Lord, why come with the meat? See, because normally when I open up, and start our relationship series, I like to give y'all some candy where it tastes good and it feel good, give y'all some sugar. And so y'all come back the next week. I'm like, God, why you just slapping us in the face on the first week? But see, if you don't address the elephant in the room, he'll sit on your faith. Refusing to forgive or reconnect is when you avoid reconciliation efforts even after a person apologizes. Or you withhold intimacy or affection out of spite or anger. You ain't giving up nothing. So just look at another couple and ask them, are y'all doing it? Are y'all doing it? Go on and ask the other couple. Don't say nothing to your spouse. Gonna do it now. Just ask somebody else. Are y'all doing it? Okay. I need to hurry up. So how does a person's heart get hard? How does a person's heart get hard? What does that process look like? Which brings us to point number two. It's when I stop believing and allow the enemy to start deceiving. I'm gonna say that. How does a hard heart process look? How does it start? Well, it's when I stop believing and I allow the enemy to start deceiving. Because anytime our actions are outside of how God's word says we should act or respond, we either temporarily have stopped believing the word or we have been deceived to no longer believe it at all. See, when Eve was approached by Satan in the book of Genesis, the devil did something that causes the unbelieving and the deceiving process to take place in her life. Genesis 3:1 in the New Living Translation, the serpent who was shrewd of all animals that the Lord had made, one day he asked Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? Just like he said, did God really tell you to marry them? And verse 2 says, she says, of course we may eat from the fruit of the trees from the garden. But verse 3, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it or you will die. Watch the lie. Here we go. You won't die. And here is what most of us don't understand. Watch this now. When a lie has been received, the next step is our hearts will be deceived. And see, if you don't watch it, you may not be monitoring your thought life enough to hear the lies that the enemy is throwing. They're subtle. Lies like, he don't care about me no more. Lies like, you shouldn't trust them. Amen. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 shows us, watch this. It says, for God made Adam first, and afterwards he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan, but read it with me. The woman was deceived, and then sin was the result. I want you to notice that the result of the lie caused deception, and then after deception, that led to sin. Amen. So if we're not open to these lies that come, these lies will deceive you. And then the next step from deception is sin. So that process is what ultimately causes a person's heart to get hard. But let me show you also how this process or how a person gets here. So we're about to read a story. And the purpose of me reading it is so we can discover what the process, what the heart process goes through before it gets hard, okay? Because your heart does not get hard overnight, church. It does not get hard overnight. It's a process. So watch this, Mark chapter 16, verse 9. It says, and Jesus rose from the dead early on a Sunday morning. Early on Sunday morning, yep. The first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven devils. She went to the disciples who were grieving, and they were weeping, and she told them what happened. Watch this now. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they did not what? They didn't believe her. After he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. And so these two people, they rushed back to tell the others, the disciples, but no one but what happened? Believed them. Watch verse 14. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. And let's see what he did. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. Watch this. Because they refused to believe. And that's what a hard heart looks like. It refuses to believe. Now see, one of the things that fueled the disciples' unbelief is, watch this, disappointment. And that's what happens in relationships. When you start getting disappointed with your spouse and disappointed about what they did or disappointed about what they said, if you don't watch it, it'll start the hard hardening process. So the first steps to a hard heart is, number one, receiving a lie. The second step is believing the lie. The third step is being deceived by the lie. The fourth step is deception, then rejects reception. Because now, once deception happens, you're going to reject anything else. And then the fifth one is when sin sets in. And this is how people justify cheating in a relationship. Now, you say, well, I ain't cheating. But are you cheating on your phone? Amen. The New Living Translation, I know this is rough. New Living Translation. It's rough. I know it's rough. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Watch this. It says, then Paul went to the synagogue and he preached boldly for the next 3 months. Watch this. For how long? Come on, church. How long? Man, Paul was preaching to these people for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But watch what happened in verse 9. But some became what, church? Stubborn. And what did they do? They rejected his message and publicly speaking against his way. And listen to the CEV version of that. For 3 months, Paul went to the Jewish meeting place and talked bravely with the people about God's kingdom. He tried to win them over, but some of them were stubborn and refused to believe. And when a person gets to that place in a relationship, they have a hard heart. So in regard to marriage, what causes a person who once believed God, what God's word says about marriage? Look, we in it to win it. It's to death do us part. Look, one of us gonna die, but I'm a ride or die. Now you riding in line. See, church, once you buy a lie and you stop believing, your heart gets hard. And God calls an unbelieving heart an evil heart. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 3. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Watch this, in departing from the living God. I want you to notice that once a person falls into this unbelief category, the end result is, watch this, they will depart from God. Well, if a person will depart from God, they certainly will depart from their spouse. So let's deal with some lies, because since the lie is the first step to this hard heart process, then let's deal with the lies, because the devil has a lot of people defeated, watch this, because they don't even think they've even believed a lie. See, some of y'all here, you say, oh, I ain't believe no lie. That's the problem. He got you deceiving that you didn't even believe a lie when you believed a lie, because you're acting different. You ain't the same person when y'all got married. Why has it gotten worse and not better? Somebody's heart is getting hard. But watch this now. Here's the thing. You say, well Pastor, what if I'm believing about this person is even true? Then my question is, then why aren't you free? Because the Bible says, listen, truth doesn't keep you bound. Truth makes you free. So why are you bound believing something that's true? See, the Bible says you shall know the truth. And that knowing of truth is what makes you free. So let's talk about lies, because lies can come in several ways, and I need to hurry up. Here's the first way a lie can come. It's through the enemy. And this is when Satan uses demonic influences to speak to us. He can use your girlfriend. He can use your homeboy. He can use a post that you saw on social media. Everybody say the enemy. Then the second one is the inner me. That's good. Now this is when I have some unresolved offenses and issues from either, watch this, previous relationships or with my spouse. Some of these may be known or unknown. Watch this. And they may come in different forms and differences or unrealistic expectations. But these lies come from bent perspective sometimes. But let me talk about transfer pain real quick. Because based on stats, 50% of people have been married more than once. In fact, I'm going to ask, how many have been married more than once? Raise your hand. More than once, one, one, more than once, more than once. Okay, look around the room. Keep your hand up. There ain't no shame. I got my hand up too. Look around you. That's half the room. Do y'all agree? Okay, so watch this now. That means now we need to talk about transferred pain. You say, well, what is transferred pain? Transferred pain is when I got hurt or you got hurt and injured from a previous relationship or situation and you never got healed from it. So watch this. So now you get married or remarried and you bring that pain into the relationship. So now, let's say in your previous relationship, you know, they injured your arm, so to speak. You know, I'm just using a physical example, but your arm got injured, right? And so now, that arm never got healed. So it's a wound. So now you get into another relationship, and your spouse touches your arm. Oh, you hurt me. No, I touched you where you hurt, but somebody else did that. And if you don't watch it, you will blame your spouse for, like, watch this, for hurting you when you got hurt before they met you. That's why healing is so important. Say amen to that. Everybody say, the inner me. Here's the last one, the sin I see. This is when the enemy uses a third party to influence my thoughts and my feelings that turn my heart from my spouse. So here's the last one. How do we break the process and the state of a hard heart? It brings us to point number three, and that is, in order to soften, I must surrender often. I'm talking about your heart. In order to soften, I must surrender often. So here are steps to a softened heart. I need to hurry up. Here we go. Number one, you must view a hard heart as sin or your love will continue to grow cold. If your heart is in this state in any way, if you don't view it as sin, you won't stop it. See, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, Jesus said that they sat up on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, talking about the end of the world. And he said, what signs will be of your coming to from the end of the world? And he says, and many false prophets, I'm in verse 11 now, many false prophets will arise and they shall deceive many. And then he says in verse 12, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. He's saying because of sin and iniquity, people's heart gets cold. And so if you don't watch it, your heart will get cold if you don't view this as sin. Number two, this is how you get a soft heart, is repent before God and ask him to help you because he's the only one that can. Psalm 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Because, see, if you don't view the state or the process of a hard heart as sin, you will ignore it, not knowing you're creating a wall between you and God. Wow. Here's number three. I'm talking about how to get maintain a soft heart. You got to practice forgiveness quickly and often. Amen. Colossians 3:12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. When you're in a relationship, you have to make allowances for your spouse's faults. Say amen to that. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Most people want to be loved instead of showing love. Here's the last one. Well, one more. Communicate to deliberate. In other words, you need to have those hard conversations with your spouse. And let me just give you some, here's a tip. Because, you know, depends on the situation and how passionate one or both people are, sometimes it's best to record the conversation. Because, see, you'll act different when you know it's on record, see. You always yelling, well, we gonna see. We gonna see. No. Don't. Now, listen, do not record it behind the person's back. Don't do that. No, they said, baby, can we just record this? And then it allows you to go back and listen to yourself. Say amen. Here's the last one. Get some outside help when a matter can't be resolved. If you can't get outside help, you know what that says? You're full of pride. So how do we apply the word today? Is y'all receiving the word? Y'all receiving this? I know. So how do we apply it? First of all, check your heart. Ask God to examine it. Number two, discuss things that bother you, even if it might temporarily cause some friction. Because what you don't discuss eventually turns into an offense. And an offense that's not resolved will bleed into bitterness, and bitterness makes you bitter. Here's number three. If you know that your heart is off towards your spouse, repent to God first and then repent to them. And then sometimes if you just feel like they're not hearing you, here's another tip. Everybody say a tip. Here's another tip. Write your spouse a letter. Write them a letter. Now listen, share your heart in a way that don't push blame, but highlights how you feel and what you need. And let me just say, start out by sharing with them what you love about them. What you love about them, what you like about them. Listen, we wouldn't have the Bible to read if somebody hadn't wrote it down. So sometimes you might have to write your spouse a little letter. And then number four is discover where the lie came from and the door that it came through. And then close that door. And so, how many received the word today? So keep your arms up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus and those who are watching, I pray right now that your word will not return void. And Father, those who are in relationships where the hard, hard process has started, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you because your word is the only thing that can divide soul from spirit, divide spirit from flesh. And so I'm asking that the word that was just preached will somehow begin to soften the heart of every person whose heart may have started getting hard. And Father, even those who may have a hard, half heart, they're still functioning. But God, there's not a lot of emotion in it. There's not a lot of connection in it. There's a lot of commitment because they decided, oh, I'm not leaving. But Father, why is it to be married and still not be happy? So Lord, I speak in Jesus' name that every couple who has received this word, I thank you that by the end of our series this month, their relationship will be better. It will be healed. It will be, Father, they will have a more spiritual and emotional and physical connection than they ever have in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap this morning.